We've been going through the book of Amos, and I find it enjoyable once in a while to preach from the Old Testament because some of these, especially the minor prophets, we don't pay too much attention to. But I always liked Amos. He was a shepherd and he tended his own vineyard. Well, not a vineyard, but a fig orchard. And, closest to being a farmer of all the prophets. So I kind of liked Amos. But as you recall, dealing with the northern kingdom of Israel, Amos had been calling the people to repentance one last time. It was God's last call to a people that had abandoned him many years earlier and still were living as if God did not matter. They thought they were strong enough on their own power and they did not need God. And that comes out even more in our passage today. And one of the things I like about going through Amos, I see some connections with our modern day world, but also in a more intimate relationship, our own lives in relation to Jesus Christ. We ourselves can fall into the same trap that the northern kingdom of Israel did. That life can go on, the life can be good, and then, before long we think it's all up to us, and we're just lucky, and everything's good, we make good decisions, and who needs God while everything is good? And then when people warn us, that we're living in sin, we're doing things we shouldn't, then we get upset. And that's human nature, to get upset when people tell us that we're doing something wrong. And that was the problem with Israel, because they were so caught up in themselves that they did not appreciate all the prophets that God sent to them, warning them. Because all the warnings was God saying, I love you, come back to me. I love you, give up your sin and come back to me. He knew they could never be perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but he wanted them to love him and listen to him. But the more they got comfortable, the more they got settled in their own viewpoints, the less and less they wanted God. And when they got to the point then where they had no room for God, because they were self-consumed, they were strong enough, they could take care of themselves, who needed God? And so we come to Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. And Amos writes this, Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy any more at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. Amos answered Amaziah, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, Do not prophesy against Israel, and stop preaching against the house of Isaac. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land. What this points out is God's word alone stands. It doesn't matter what people's opinions are or how well we think of ourselves. It doesn't matter how good we think we are or how well we think God will see things our way. Because the bottom line is God never sees things our way. Because our way, at best, is corrupted. None of us are perfect, and so we tend to think so many times in a selfish way. It's our human, sinful nature. But God calls us to learn to think His way. And that's the challenge for every individual person. is to learn to think the way God wants us to think according to His way. And that's why He's given us Word, His Word, so we can live by it. God gave the law to the children of Israel so that they not only could know how to live, but they would know what God values and what God detests. He's given it to us in written form through Moses and then through the prophets. And even now in the New Testament, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the apostles and prophets of the first century. We have the Word of God. We know what God values. And we know what God wants us to value. We know what God detests, and we know what we should detest. The problem is that as human beings, we have a hard time loving the things that God loves, and we have a hard time detesting the things that God detests. But the reality is God has called us to walk with Him. And He's willing to help us each and every step of the way in our lives as we struggle between the good and evil, as we wrestle with that within our own lives. The problem for Israel and the problem for many people, even in this very day, is that people don't want the struggle. People just want what they want. They want to believe what they want. They want to live as they want. And they no longer care what God really says and what God values. And so we find here that as Amos is prophesying and he's warning the people. And again, remember, Amos is calling people back to God, telling them to repent. They don't like it. That's what the prophets before Amos all went through as well. They're taking it out on Amos as they did the other prophets because they are rejecting the very word of God. They do not want to hear it. And because they're rejecting God, they take it out on His messengers. They represent God's messengers. You look at Amaziah, and what's he claim about Amos? He tells the king, Amos is rising up, raising a conspiracy against you. And that's not at all what Amos was doing. Amos was saying, repent or God is going to destroy you. You guys are so far away from God, you don't pay any attention to Him. You don't love Him. But God is still calling you to repentance. And yet they look at it as a conspiracy. Amos hates the king. Amos wants the downfall of Israel. And when actually it's the other way around. But see, that's what Satan wants people to think. That the ways of God is an enemy to them. But what the reality is, they're living as enemies of God. Their very Creator, the one who loves them, the one who blesses and the one who has sacrificed for them. And yet they keep turning their back upon God or thumbing their nose at God. And so they misrepresent God's messengers. That happens this very day. If you speak out against sin, right away people want to turn on you. And that's just human nature. They reject God's messengers because they reject God's message. They don't want to hear what God says. They think they're strong enough to stand on their own without God. I think I told you once, a while back, the only couple that I ever said no, I would not marry them. The husband had this, or the husband-to-be. Fortunately, they never did get married together. But he had this idea that open marriage would be fine. And I can bring home who I want, and she can bring home who she wants. And you know, it's all about love and having fun. And I said, no, that's against God's will. You know, I will not do it. He said, oh, I'm not worried about it. He said, I'm sure come Judgment Day, when I have the opportunity to explain myself, God will see things my way. That's actually what he told me. And the sad thing is, that's the way most people think. That I'm the judge. I decide what God's going to accept or what God's not going to accept. But the thing is, we're not God. You know, we still act before God like we're little children. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, sometimes I thought I knew better. And then I'd have a hurting backside to prove otherwise. We still, as human beings, still act like selfish children, spoiled children before a God who loves us. And we think we don't need Him. But God's Word stands. Doesn't matter what this priest said. He was a religious man. He was supposed to be a servant of God, and yet still chose to not listen to God. And he misrepresented Amos. He misrepresented the word. And he told Amos, get out of town. Get out of the country. You're not welcome. And even to this day, we hear people say, the word of God is not welcome. We want to believe what we want to believe, and we want to be what we want to be, and we want to do what we want to do, and we don't want to do what God wants. But the thing is, God's messengers, just like Amos, are just ordinary people. Every one of us is just an ordinary people, or person. You know, okay, I'm a preacher, but that's what I do, but I'm just like everybody else. You know? I have my good points, I have my bad points. I have my victories, I have my failures. But preaching is what God has called me to do. Whatever walk in life you are, that's what God has called you to. But you're still a messenger of God. We are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost world, to share the word. We're just ordinary people, like everybody else. There's nothing special about us except Jesus Christ. We're not better than anybody else, except through the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. We have the word, and we're to believe it, and we're to share it. The Lord declares His judgment on unrepentant people. You know, it's right here. He says it again and again and again. This is what's going to happen. But I'm often amazed in our world how many times people say, oh, that'll never happen. God will never do that. God's a God of love. God will never do that. God will never condemn people. And yet the Bible, on almost every page, shows that God does. God keeps His word. Because, see, God's not one of us. He's God. He's the creator. He's the rule maker. He has standards. And He's a righteous God, and He must judge according to those standards. But if He judged solely by those standards, no one would have a chance for eternity. But to meet those standards, God said, I'll do it for you. And He came and He died on that cross for you and I. So that now, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can walk with God. We can learn from Him and grow. Unlike the Israelites, who did not have the help of the Holy Spirit within them, we do. To help us to grow and walk with our God in increasing measure. Because we were saved from having to live in sin to now being able to live in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so our message to people is, you need Jesus. You need Jesus because you're lost in sin. You need Jesus because by your choices you are rejecting God Himself. And if you die in rejection of God, you've lost everything and you will face the fires of hell. That's not condemnation. That's just stating a fact. And if you want to really care about people, you warn them. It is about love. Even God sending Amos, it was about God's love for a lost people. A people lost in their selfishness, their self-centeredness. But as Amos ends it here, what God says will be. If we do not repent of our sins, and that's true for every one of us every day, then we carry such a burden and face the due punishment. In Christ we have forgiveness. In Christ we have hope. And so we live each day without a heavy burden if we take it to our Lord when we do have those burdens. But a lost world is carrying all that guilt and shame upon their backs. Even if they don't realize it, they are carrying it. And boy, we look at this world and we see so much anger, so much sorrow, so much remorse, that just so much that is evil that is just consuming mankind throughout the world. And the message of hope is that there's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That the burden that they carry can be lifted through Jesus if they would just turn to Him and repent of their sins and find the freedom there is in Jesus Christ. because the freedom is being able to know the truth and to grow in our ability to live by it and to know God's grace and forgiveness each and every day of our lives. That's such a wonderful thing, such a wonderful experience, and such a joy for living. But Satan wants to keep everybody stuck in the muck and mire of selfishness and greed and hate and sin. God keeps calling out. My word alone stands. Opinions will all fall away. Human selfishness will all fall away. Philosophies will all fall away. Man-made doctrines will all fall away. All that will ever stand is the Word of God. That's all that will ever stand. And isn't it interesting how, if you follow the news online, how quickly things change and contradict? God's Word never changes and never contradicts. That and that alone is what we can stand on. And that's what separates us from a lost world. It's not that we are so good, you and I as Christians. It's that we stand on the Word of God. That is our basis. That is our foundation. And we grow accordingly. And we reach out in love to the lost who need the freedom and the security that we have as Christians, because God's Word stands alone. Right now we're going to sing a song called Wonderful Words of Life. And this is a fun hymn because it's so true. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. You know, the Bible is so fascinating. The Bible is so uplifting. Even in the things that are stated in a negative way, they lift us up. But for a people that do not want God and do not want what He says, they find it distasteful. But for you and I, the words are just like singing a beautiful song. Our God is so awesome, so wonderful, and His words are so full of hope and forgiveness and love. And all He says is, listen to me, come back to me, walk with me, and look forward to eternity where everything between us will once again be perfect. Let's stand together, shall we, as we sing.